About to start something a little bit different, but about to go all the way a little bit different this go around.
Tell me that you're sorry. Didn't think I'd turn around.
This one for you, Cole.
Say,
I can't believe you.
It's too late to apologize. It's too late.
It's how Kendrick Lamar thinking.
It's too late to apologize.
But this how you should've came out, bro.
Yeah, it's great. What you gonna do when shit hits the fan? Are you gonna stand and fight like a man? Will you be as hard as you say you are? Are you gonna run and go get your body gone? What you gonna do when shit hits the fan? Are you gonna stand and fight like a man? And show us you're as hard as you say you are? Are you gonna run and go get your body gone?
Yes, sir. 1-2-1-2, what it do, what it do. It's your boy Skeeter Steve, and welcome to another episode of Lace Rhymes for the Culture and by the Culture. Man, got a very special guest with me. You know what I'm saying? It's been my boy, A1 Day One.
Yes, sir.
Been down with each other since we was whooping niggas' ass over Pokemon cards. But it's none other than my boy, Spence from Views to Sevens, man.
What up, man? Finally.
Yes. Yeah, man. It's good to have you back, bro. Well.
Sucks that I got to be under these circumstances.
All right. Unfortunately. Unfortunately, but we're here. Okay. Metro Boomin, Future, Like That drops.
Yep.
Kendrick, getting tired. He said, fuck that. I'm talking to you. And I'm talking to you. A week and a half roll by. We get Mike Delete This Later. Here come Cole. Little slight jab. But the first half of the beat was terrible.
But you thought the first beat?
Yeah.
I thought the first half was dope, man. The second half stinked.
Man, that first half sounded like a goddamn video game from Mega Man, bro. Come on now. But yeah, the second half, I liked it the second half because that was more suitable for him. Mm. And then we get to the Dreamville Festival. This nigga apologizing.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, oh man, it just didn't sit right in my spirit. Oh, this and that. Man, that was me 10 years ago. But I'm glad you said 10 years ago, because niggas hate when niggas pull up receipts. Mm. And we got the receipts right here. And I mean, I'm just saying. Cole?
My clips, I'm writing down names, I'm making a list, I'm checking it twice and I'm getting them hit. The real ones been dying, the fake ones is lit. The game is off balance, I'm back on my shit. The Bentley is dirty, my sneakers is dirty, but that's how I like it. You all on my dick, I'm all in my bag, as hard as it get. I do not throw powder, I might take a sip, I might hit the blunt, but I'm liable to trip. I ain't popping no pill, but you do it. Nigga, for nothing, if I smoke a rapper, it's gonna be legit. It won't be for clout, it won't be for fame, it won't be cause my shit ain't selling the same. It won't be to sell you my latest little sneakers, it won't be cause some niggas slid in my
Cole, I'm just saying. And then we don't stop there. You took another shot at him.
No, I never stress in the booth. They feel the pressure. Me, I feel like I just left them a suit.
I can't even listen to it.
I put your favorite rapper neck in the noose. Never letting them loose. Cold world, the heater blast of your speaker. He the last of Mohicans. No weakness last in my sneakers. Nigga want me on a song. He gon' see the wrath of the reaper. I'm probably gon' go to hell if Jesus asked for a feature.
You missed one, though.
Which one I missed?
You missed one.
Which one I'm in?
Yachty.
Oh yeah. No, yeah. I ain't want to keep on going, but I'm just saying.
When I listen to now to that first person shooter, that Yachty verse sticks out way more to me.
Yeah, it do. It really does. It really does. So my thing was, okay, you're taking all of these shots, but when the man decided, okay, I'm gonna keep on letting y'all do that, and so when he decided to come out shooting, and that nigga came out, I don't care what anybody said, you know, oh, it was me. No, that nigga came out shooting. First thing he said, he opened up that motherfucker and said, these niggas is talking out the side of their fucking necks. And when he said that, I was like, oh, yeah. This nigga means violence. He's on, how the girl said, he on demon time right now. That nigga was on demon time. Then as you keep on going through the lines, motherfuckers want to click up like 40 water, which was a great line. I liked it. Then we get to the motherfuck the big three, nigga, it's just big me. He said, fuck both of y'all, nigga, I've been the guy. Then you go, you dig deep even further. Not only he was taking shots at Cole, I did like the Drake line. Your best work was a life pack, nigga. Prince outlived Mike Jack. Oof. And then he ended the line, for all my dogs getting buried. These are canines. This nigga gonna see Pet Cemetery. Nigga, that's a clear indication. He was like, nigga, I'm talking to you and you. What you gonna do? And I'm just all like, I couldn't believe he doubled down. I like, everybody's saying, oh, this is for the growth and everything.
Yeah.
All respectable, but.
Pussy.
Yes, big time. Big time, but when you're entering that field and you're calling yourself the greatest, like what you said on First Person Shooter, you feel like you Muhammad Ali. So, of course, when you're doing all that yapping, it comes with the territory. And Kendrick been quiet. He been quiet the whole time since Miss Morrell. He ain't say nothing to nobody. He been letting everybody do their shit. And then by the time y'all two wanna do that, and he looking at y'all like, oh, this is what we doing?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I got something for you and you. So, like what you said, man, like a lot of the songs that he had did prior before, it just now it don't hit the same. Like it really don't hit the same no more, because he was doing all that yapping and then he doubled down on it. And I just feel like out of all the places you did it at your own fucking festival, dog. Like why at your own festival? I could have understand maybe he could have did like an Instagram live or something like that. But I just felt like, man, that was a wrong move to do that. Very wrong move to do that. So to me, I'm looking at it now like, okay, we still getting the fall off, but I think this might hurt his little rollout, if you ask me.
He say, niggas fake progressive and woke. I started saying less. I had to stop it, peeped how they profit off of racial stress. Some activists got so rich, they probably wish we stay oppressed. Studio steppers, moving extra on song, faking rep. Only Breaking Bad in the lab, thought y'all was making meth. Niggas making threats and I laugh, that's because you ain't a threat. Don't ask how I feel about no rappers, shit they okay, I guess.
Oh my God!
Hey, man. He killed that verse.
No,
I
he did.
Hear the same. I can't even listen to it the same.
Yeah, he did. Everybody know I'm a K-Dot stand, but I fuck with Cole too. But that verse did hit. When I first heard that, I was like, oh, this nigga really doing this right now. He really doing it. So I'm just looking at it as, nigga, what's the matter? The kitchen got too hot for you and you had to get up out of there? Because you already knew it was going to be coming. And then now, when you go back and listen to Kendrick's part 4, it hits so much better now. That nigga said, I can't wait to sun your punk ass. Nigga, tiptoeing around my name, nigga, you lame. And when I approach you, nigga, you gonna be telling me I thought you was playing. Like, that line hits so much more now. And like when you hear other lines in his other songs, prime example, King Kunta, To Pimp a Butterfly, one of the greatest hip hop albums ever.
Absolutely.
Ever. When the niggas said I was gonna kill a couple of rappers, but they did it to themselves. Everybody's suicidal and they don't even need my help.
Mm. That's what makes one of the great, man.
It really does, man. And then also too, man, I'm looking at it like this. By him doing that, and this is another thing a lot of people not looking at. It's like when you're the leader of the pack, and when the head gets cut off, it's like you leave room and open season on the other people. So I feel like by doing that, don't be too surprised if everybody start coming after Dreamville full attack mode. Start getting that Earth Gang. Start getting that JID. Start getting that Boz. Start getting that Kaz. Start getting that Luke. Because why? The snake cut his own head off.
Yeah, well, you know, Ari Lennox was shooting at Joe Budden on Twitter. She posted the video of him getting beat up on Instagram. And so they going back and forth. I hear JID and Baby Keem, man, that's bubbling a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
I definitely heard that too, because it's like what I said. Now it's fucking open season on Dreamville. Dreamville out here looking real weak right now. Because why? Like the leader cut his own head off. He did it to himself. Now, my thing is now, next up, man, by him doing this, does this eliminate him from the big three, and does this hurt his legacy?
I think it eliminates him. I think it eliminates any chatter of him being one of the best. But I don't, and in long term, I don't think it hurts his legacy. But any talk of him being the best is over.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, absolutely. I'm with you on that.
Even one of the best, that's, you know.
Yeah. No, I agree. Because when I even did the comparisons when he was taking shots at Kendrick, telling him, your first shit was a classic, your last shit was a tragic, the second one, they gassed it. Now, when we put a comparison, you can either start with Cole's first four, or even go on the back end after Forest Hill Drive and the next four come out. I'm sorry to say this, though, but Kendrick only may have four albums, but his four albums is darn near better than this nigga whole catalog. That's just me. And the only two that I really, really like out of his catalog, of course, Forest Hills Drive, and one that a lot of people didn't like, but I enjoyed it, was KOD. But I find it funny the same way he was shitting on the Pimp a Butterfly. Yeah. But when you listen to KOD, KOD has the same similarities as the Pimp a Butterfly.
I said For Your Eyes Only was his Pimp a Butterfly ish. I had Cole up 1-0.
You had him up?
I had Cole up 1-0 after the song dropped. Now, I didn't listen to the album, but I did listen to the song. And I had him up 1-0. And the reason I had him up 1-0 was because I feel like in today's era, when it comes to battle rap and beefing, which is to me is one of the same these days.
Right.
Public perception matters.
Yeah.
And after he dropped that song, it made people go back and listen to Kendrick's catalog and question it. And they were doing it for days. I feel like he stepped on it with this apology, but they were going through his catalog. You had the people where you wanted them. I had them up 1-0. If the people went back and was listening and questioning Kendrick's catalog, what else do you want?
Right. Yeah.
What else do you want?
Yeah.
And then he does.
He choked. He choked. And I think one of the reasons why he choked, because I said this the other day. Okay, I get it. I understand why a lot of people didn't like Miss Morrell and the Big Steppers. Personally, I enjoyed it. That was some therapeutic for him. He got that shit out the way. But by no mistakes, when he did like that, I felt like Kendrick was reminding us, okay, yeah, I did Miss Morrell and the Big Steppers, mm-hmm. but nigga, don't get it twisted. I'm still this guy from Compton, California.
Yeah.
And I'll push on the button whenever I feel like it.
Yeah. I, you know what I mean? I always felt like Kendrick is one of the greats right now. I did feel like he was pushing the overrated boundaries. He was pushing that button. Because I mean, there was no question that he could rap.
Mm-hmm.
And he can rap with the best of them.
Right.
I feel like when it came to his music, it was very niche. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It was either you really liked it or you really hated it.
Yeah.
I think the only one that everybody was like, this is it, is, well, the only two actually was Section 80 and Good Kid, Mad City. I think Damn, To Pimp a Butterfly, although I love that album. That is a classic album to me, one of the most important of my generation.
Absolutely.
It was still niche.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was still niche. Mr. Morale stink to me. But I understand, you know, why people liked it. And I understand why people didn't like it. So he made niche music, but at the end of the day, he could still rap.
Yes. No, yes, absolutely. And I'm with you on that. And even just to take it a step further, I felt like when he did Damn, mm-hmm. he was letting everybody know, hey, I could do this mainstream shit too.
Yeah.
Like, if I really wanted to, I could really do this mainstream shit. And I mean, Damn was so critically acclaimed, the nigga won a Pulitzer Prize from that shit.
I thought that was for To Pimp a Butterfly.
No, it was Damn.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. He won a Pulitzer from Damn, which was crazy. And like what you said, you would think he would have got it from To Pimp a Butterfly, but To Pimp a Butterfly, he had 11 nominations. He was one nomination away from beating Michael Jackson from Thriller.
Oh, wow.
And he told the people, he was like, I don't want to beat Mike.
Yeah.
That's what he said. He had so much respect for Mike. He was like, I don't want to do that. He was like, I want to keep his legacy intact.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I definitely feel it though, but like what you said, Cole really had everybody guessing on that nigga's catalog.
Yeah.
But now, since you doubled down on an apology, and I'm all like, now I look at you like, bro, like, how can you shit on Born Center? How can you shit on To Pimp a Butterfly, but Born Center was just as bad?
I hate Born Center.
Born Center is so fucking garbage. And people try to defend that album. And I'm all like, bro, it ain't it. And for me, I'll take it a step further. I felt like that's where Cole's frustration started with Kendrick. Because you got to think, Cole was out longer, but when Kendrick came out, Kendrick shot out the fucking gate. He was gone by then. And people have a tendency to forget, like, okay, y'all talking about all the features that Cole been going on these features run.
Yeah.
Y'all forgot. Kendrick had the whole fucking problems with A$AP Rocky. Kendrick had Taylor Swift. Kendrick had Imagine Dragons. Kendrick had Miguel. Kendrick had, he was from like 2012, 13, and 14. That nigga was on everything.
Yeah.
He really was on fucking everything. And those 3 years, he won Lyricist of the Year, and Cole felt like he was snubbed. And that's why I felt like his frustration started with him. Because I ask people this. I'm all like, okay, if Cole and Kendrick was so like buddy-buddy this and that, and even though Kendrick was taking off before Cole, how come
on... Was Kendrick? I don't think he was.
No, yeah.
I thought it was... I thought the talk was around that time. It was Drake. It was Drake, Sean.
Yeah, it was Drake.
Sean. Shoot.
Yeah, it was Drake, Sean, Kendrick, Cole, and Wale.
I thought it was Drake, Sean, Kent. No, Drake, Sean, Wale, and Cole. And then when Kendrick came, he kind of phased out Wale and Big Sean.
Yeah. No, yeah, because, yeah. Yeah, you're right, because 2011, I'm not going to lie, that was a fucking big year for Wale when he dropped Ambition. Dope album. Dope fucking album.
Yeah, Kendrick kind of came and kind
of... Right. Get out the way, nigga. Right, yeah, definitely get out the way. And, of course, Cole does High Power for Kendrick, produced that beat for him.
It was on the Buried Alive interlude for Drake.
Mm-hmm. And then you turn around, Drake gets on Poetic Justice, and that was the last time we ever saw Kendrick and Drake ever doing a collab with each other. The last time. We never saw a collab from them ever again. Yes.
Was it that long
ago? Yes, that long ago, bro. That long ago. So I feel like...
No, they did fucking problems.
Yeah, but they didn't know. They ain't know. They ain't know. Yeah, they didn't know. Okay. ASAP didn't tell neither of them that
Poetic
they were
Justice
doing that.
Was like what?
2012. Good Kid, Mad City. 2000. Yeah, yeah, bro.
Damn.
Yeah, so people thinking this beat just... This shit run deep. This shit run deep. And after when Good Kid, Mad City got the success that it did, here comes Born Sinner. Like what you said, terrible. And one of my biggest issues with Born Sinner, okay, when you're opening it up, because I bought that album, I see Forbidden Fruit. Oh, damn. Damn. Okay, Cole got Kendrick on there. Got one of the most dopest Tribe Called Quest samples on there. And you only let Kendrick do the chorus. Why you didn't let Kendrick cook a 16 with you on that?
She was hard, though.
He didn't let Kendrick cook not 116 on that motherfucker. And then right after Born Sinner, he gives us Yours Truly 1 and 2, which I think Yours Truly 1 and 2 is way better than Born Sinner. And if you take a lot of the tracks from Yours Truly 1 and 2, scratch off a couple from Born Sinner and add Headbusta, Cousins, Kenny Lofton, Chris Tucker, Born Sinner might be a classic.
Yeah,
that's just me, though.
I hated that album.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's coming from somebody I, like, thoroughly loved Cole World.
Yeah, man, yeah, yeah. I'm like you. I didn't fuck with that either. And then here comes Forest Hill Drive. Fucking amazing. And then right after Forest Hill Drive, here comes the Pimp a Butterfly. And then, I will never forget that, towards the end of 2015 when they did the Black Friday freestyle during Thanksgiving week. When Kendrick rapped over Cole's shit, that made Kendrick solidified at that point. When he did that, we was like, I was like, I remember that day. I told all my homeboys, I was like, nigga, you can't deny this dude. This nigga the fucking greatest.
Yeah.
He really did. And then Cole turns around and freestyle on All Right. It wasn't hitting. It didn't hit. It didn't hit like that. And then you fast forward, here comes For Your Eyes Only. Like you, it was Ed to me, but I can understand why you appreciate it. And like one of my close friends, he appreciated it. Definitely appreciated it. So I can understand
that. For Your Eyes Only, the title track, is one of the probably top five greatest storytelling records ever.
Oh, no, yeah, man. Absolutely. Like I can understand that. And then here comes 2017. Kendrick gives us Damn. And oh my God,
that shit goes crazy.
Kung Fu Kenny was everywhere. You can.
Who they waiting on? That's
Kung Fu Kenny. All right, now I got my homegirl Ink calling in. I was waiting on this. Hello, hello. What up? What up?
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. You on the show? Welcome, welcome.
What's up?
What up? What up?
How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. You on the show with another partner of mine, Spence from Views from the 7 podcast.
How you doing?
Oh, what's up? I'm great. How are you?
Pretty well.
Yeah, yeah. So right now, we are getting into the comparisons and within the timelines of Kendrick Lamar and J. Cole's albums, because like we said, we were just speaking about how it was just crazy how Cole tried to shit on his catalog, and then especially how he tried to shit on To Pimp a Butterfly. And me and my boy Spence, we definitely agreed how you gonna shit on To Pimp a Butterfly, but Born Sinner was just as bad. But don't nobody never want to admit that. Born Sinner is just as bad. You don't never hear nobody going back to saying that they're listening to Born Sinner.
I've never heard nobody say, hey, put on that Born Sinner. Now, don't get me wrong. Born Sinner gets played in my life. But I don't know anybody who's like, yeah, put on that Miss America. What? never heard. Because I'm going to keep it a whole bean. I'll play To Pimp a Butterfly on repeat before I play Born Sinner. Because when you come into an album, when you come into an album saying, every nigga is a star, that's the shit. I feel marvelous. I feel gorgeous when I hear the intro to the album. I honestly think Jermaine might just be a little mad because his mama can't sing the intro song. That might be the beef.
No, yeah. But like I was just saying to when we were speaking on it earlier, I just feel like this beef trickled a long time ago, early on in their careers. And then, like what I was saying, fast forward right after, damn, Kendrick executive produce and give us one of the dopest soundtracks of the time, Black Panther. Like that nigga, Kendrick was on fire. He couldn't have been ill. And like he couldn't have been stopped. And then right after that, Cole give us KOD, which I very, very enjoyed. I loved KOD. And then right after that, that's when Cole started going on this run from Revenge of the Dreamers, Volume 3. And that's when he started talking his shit on Middle Child, talking about, oh, like, if I'm going to take a rapper out, it's not going to be for no clout and no name. So he started talking that shit. And that's why I tell people, I'm all like, how y'all trying to make it seem like Kendrick fired off the first shot, where in retrospect, it was really Cole fired off the first shot.
My theory, and I was just telling my fiance this, my theory is what really made Kendrick be like, y'all can go to fucking hell, fuck the big three, nigga, it's just big me, is because Kendrick hates Drake.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody who dislikes Drake more than Kendrick Lamar Duckworth. That nigga can't stand Drake. He can't stand him. And he never has liked him. The ha-ha, you know, high five on BET Cypher. Mm-hmm. That was a Drake shot. The niggas thought they wasn't going to see me, huh? Niggas thought that K-Dot real life was the same life they see on TV, huh? Niggas want to be in L.A. and flex on you niggas free, huh? That whole, next time you get to see a freeway, we need to see your see, huh? That was talking about Drake. Nigga, don't bring your ass to L.A. without showing them up with a receipt. You cross the line. Kendrick has never liked or respected Drake, ever, since the start of his career. And so I think when it came to the relationship between Kendrick and Jermaine, and I always call Jermaine by his full name when he pisses me off, always, okay, always. But I think the real issue between Kendrick and Jermaine, because at a certain point, they were peers, right? So this is how my brain was processing it. I'm pretty sure I said this on TikTok Live, but I know I was processing it even more with my man when I was saying Kendrick and J. Cole were peers when they came out. Drake did not have a peer at the time he came out. Sure, you could have said Tyga, but Tyga was already doing his shit and making waves a little bit, especially because his cousin is in Gym Class Heroes, Travis from Gym Class Heroes. So Tyga already had a little bit of a wave when he came into the industry, but Drake did not have a peer. And when he came in, he had a team, he had a camp, he had Young Money, but Drake did not have a peer. And the industry, like when you think of mainstream music, when you think of like the industry as it existed for Drake, it did not exist in the way it existed for Drake until Drake. Drake was not competing with Kanye West and Jay-Z. He was not competing. He wasn't even competing with Wale. Like Drake was creating something that didn't really necessarily exist until his industry was created, right?
Right.
So by the time J. Cole and Kendrick hit the scene, Drake was already on another level that they were not. They were just budding. They were the backpack rappers. They were giving us what when everybody was like, oh, I wish hip hop will come back. We need real rappers. Fuck this Drake nigga. They turned to J. Cole and Kendrick. So J. Cole and Kendrick were peers at a certain point, very much peers. That's why I said, give us a High Power Part 2 and throw all this shit away. Fuck all this other shit. I need a High Power Part 2. Because even on High Power, Jermaine created the beat and Kendrick aced it, right? But they were peers.
Yep.
But then at a certain point, Kendrick is like, I don't need to constantly compare myself to Pac when I have had a career that is two to three times longer than Tupac's career. I am my own entity. I am great on my fucking own, and I know this shit. On top of the fact that Kendrick had a team. You remember I said Drake had a team? Kendrick had a team. Kendrick is coming off of the wave of Black Hippie, who had taken Tumblr by storm.
Yeah.
When you think of backpack rappers, Black Hippie was one of the strongest. Black Hippie was stronger than Young Money, if you want to keep it a bean.
Ooh,
and Young
shit.
Money had Lil Wayne and Nicki Minaj and Drake and Tyga. Like, Young Money was dope, but Young Money wasn't fucking with Black Hippie when Black Hippie really hit the scene. So you got this group of rappers who, and they're all dope. You can't say, oh, this nigga better than this nigga. They're all dope in their own way. When J-Rock says, I'm the silent assassin of the four-headed dragon, that nigga's not lying. He's genuinely one of the dopest rappers, as is Ab Soul, as is Schoolboy Q, as is Kendrick, right? So Kendrick had a team. So he was able to amplify and level up, plus TDE has writers like Isaiah Rashad and Inglewood Sir and all of these writers, and SZA, who was also one of their, you know, less appreciated rappers on TDE, is SZA. They have these rappers on their team who are like amplifying their golden child. And Kendrick is the golden child of TDE. We got to keep it a bean. He's the golden child.
Yeah.
This whole time that Drake had a team and Kendrick had a team, you know who didn't have a fucking team?
Cole. J. Cole. Cole didn't have no, yeah, you're right. And he
put these Dreamville niggas together, and no shade, I never want to hear that shit on repeat in my car. I listen to it when it comes out. I listen to it when it comes out because I want to be able to say, okay, I heard it, right? But I'm never like, oh, put that shit on repeat. No, no. Just play it for the week that it comes out, and that's it. But he didn't have a team who saw him come up the way that Black Hippie saw Kendrick come up, and the way that Young Money, even Drake even had Slum Village and 4040 and Fonzie Tigolo to watch him grow in his career. But J. Cole did not have that. So I think there's a little bit of insecurity when he calls himself middle child. I think there's a little bit of insecurity there.
That makes sense. I can see that. That definitely makes sense because I always had that issue with Dreamville. Okay, they have a lot of artists, but the problem, like what you said, they don't have the team for them. So Dreamville don't have a top dog or a punch in their corner.
Hell the fuck no, they don't.
Yeah,
When do you feel like the with Cole and Kendrick coming up as peers, when do you think the separation happened, and how far is that separation? In your opinion, career-wise?
I can confidently say Good Kid, Mad City to Tip Pimp a Butterfly. It happened very early.
It happened real early.
Okay, so I am of the opinion, right? I'm of the opinion that Cole should have never belonged in that conversation in the first place. I feel like Cole was in a space where he had a great feature run, and because of, you know, the flow of the internet, somehow he was put in this conversation. But if I'm Cole, as he said a few times, he's thankful to be in the conversation, right? So I look at it like, okay, you got the features, you're doing the features with the Bennies and the Yachties, and it's kind of like, if I'm Kendrick, it's like, okay, that's kind of cute. He's still not my peer. Now, when you appear on a Drake song saying, oh, you're Muhammad Ali. Now I gotta kind of like, you don't belong here.
Right.
Look, what Jay-Z say, we don't believe you. You need more people.
I
stand firmly on that.
He doesn't have the catalog. He doesn't stop hip hop the way these other acts do. I don't see where this big three, this big three that he created, I've never seen him in that light.
Me either.
Well, but the thing that kind of makes me like, there are two feelings I have about this. The first thing, I think he got brought up in the conversation, which goes back to Kendrick not liking Drake. If you my dog and you kicking it with a nigga I don't fuck with, I don't fuck with you now, period. I can't trust you. You know I don't like that nigga. That nigga, what do you say? Miss me with that bullshit. You're not a gang member, you're a tourist. Nigga, you are from Toronto, Canada. We saw you as a child on Degrassi. Wheelchair Jimmy,
damn,
we know you are
that
not
on
that
Kings
nigga.
Then. Damn, ain't
like,
hey, talk that
I'm,
shit right
I'm
now.
I never peeped that.
Wow.
Kendrick has never held back about recognizing that this nigga is not the nigga he said. He don't talk about hitting licks and putting money on niggas' head. You are from Toronto, Canada, boy. Thank you, babe. You're from Toronto, Canada, babe. We saw you at your house with a swimming pool in the backyard with your blonde-haired mama. What the fuck are you talking about? We know your daddy didn't raise you, and that might be the only thing that connects you and J. Cole, but Kendrick's saying, I got a daddy. I got a daddy so much, I put that nigga on two or three of my albums just to let you niggas know I got a daddy. We are not the same. We are not the fucking same, okay? But my theory is, The reason why J. Cole got pulled into the conversation was J. Cole trying to be the mediator. He's trying to be the bridge. I think it's a strategic move on Drake's behalf because the only person that doesn't show Drake respect is Kendrick. So I think Drake is trying to pull a strategic move by building a bridge between him and Kendrick while being like, I'm cool with your homie. Now we can be cool. And Drake is saying, fuck the big three. Nigga, it's just big me. Nigga, bum.
Yeah, no,
because
yeah.
The bar was bomb. The bar was bomb. Everybody's talking about, what was the bar in Kendrick's verse? Bum was the bar, nigga. That was the bar there.
So that's my first theory.
That's my first theory, is that the reason why J. Cole got pulled into it is because he's too busy trying to play nice and he's trying to play the mediator. And Kendrick was like, no, the answer is no. I don't even party with you niggas like that. No. My second theory is J. Cole, and I've said this plenty of times, but it don't get the same traction as the other video got. J. Cole is constantly seeking validation that he doesn't have to.
Yes.
He do not have to seek the validation he's constantly pining for. And that's what frustrates me, because Friday Night Lights damn near saved my life. I'm not even going to bullshit you.
Oh, yeah. Friday Night Lights is fire.
Friday Night Lights is fire. And Any Given Sunday. You remember he did the little drop Any Given Sunday before his first album?
Mm-hmm.
That, Jim's voice right there. Beautiful, beautiful work. It shows his ability to write, be a storyteller, be a producer, to put good projects together. He could do it. But then he came out with his first project, and it was very evident that he was willing to change to make a check. And then he tried to backtrack by being like, you know what, I'm going to be the nigga that's riding the bike through the city, and I'm going to get freeform dreads. Nah, bro. You either the nigga with the fresh cut hooping and the sports jacket hooping, or you are going to be a new Bob Marley.
Right.
But you can't be backtracking and flip-flopping, right? So then he flip-flops, right? So then he drops Born Center because the first album was too commercial and he felt bad. But what does he do on Born Center? Let Nas down.
I hate Born Center.
When I heard, oh my God, when I fucking heard that. When I heard Let Nas down, I was like, who is this for?
Right.
Who's this for? You want us to be singing I Can't Believe I Let Nas Down in our cars while we driving on the freeway? Skip every time. You could have sent that in a letter to Nasir Jones yourself.
Yeah, I wasn't even mad at that one. It was Crooked Smile. I was like, man, get this nigga out of here.
Crooked Smile even pissed me off because that's another song seeking validation. Because, first of all, not everybody singing that song has a crooked smile, number one. Number two, everybody in the industry getting their teeth fixed. Nigga, nut up or shut up.
Right. Nah, that's you dropping some facts right now.
That's where I said when you talk about seeking validation, I just felt like, you know, as much as he was kept saying like he's the best and he's Muhammad Ali, it was Kendrick knocked him down a few more notches. It's like, no, you don't deserve to be here.
Hello.
It's right. Cute. It's very, very cute to say I'm the best on these records, but when it comes to your peers, it's like they don't. It looks like they don't respect you as such.
Right. And then they don't. Right. And then another thing that I could definitely see is frustration. How many times Cole kept saying throughout his career, fuck the Grammys, fuck this, fuck that. You are low-key really hating because this nigga has been successful and this nigga took off like a rocket, and you did.
I felt like I felt like he threw that Grammy moment out there because of the Macklemore moment.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, that, yeah. Definitely.
Which did put some more spotlight on Kendrick.
Right, yeah.
And then Kendrick came back and was like, look, I'm going to show y'all I can really do this. I'm really doing this. But again, I just feel like he was the I don't even call him the middle child at this point.
Right.
He's like Lloyd Banks. He's Lloyd Banks forever to me right now. He will never be nothing. He's a great lyricist. He's going to go down as a great lyricist.
Mm-hmm.
But when we talk about the greats, I can never bring him up again.
Right.
Just hurt my feelings.
I don't know Muhammad Ali to ever take back shit he said.
Never.
And then I feel like they missed a moment, man. When you talk about, especially, you know, coming off the heels of the drill movement and, you know, cats really out there dying, I felt like finally we're back where it's about rap. It's about lyricism.
Yeah.
It ain't got nothing else to do with nothing else but rap. And then boom, I haven't had this moment. See, I was a little bit too young, but I haven't had this moment since, Kanye and 50 Cent.
Exactly.
That was the last time I seen two people butting heads where you could, it was just like, I felt like, oh, this was just rap and it was about selling albums.
That's a no.
Now we got this, you, I'm talking about the world is shut down watching this,
right?
And you do this, man.
No, it's yeah, and you, as a hip hop, right? No, it's very very heartbreaking. And then for me, I'm gonna read this little tweet out to you, Ink, and like I'm not gonna lie, like. This kind of like this low key kind of pissed me off where somebody said in a way they said in a way J. Cole apologizing also calls Kendrick's character into question. If this is one of the greats, someone he considered a brother didn't sit right with Cole. Why did it sit right with Kendrick? Why didn't he also think it was being lame for him to do that? Sorry, Kendrick comes from a different cloth. And what I mean by a different cloth, you have people that are just outright crazy, and then you have some that are just they're just fucking out there. They don't give a fuck. They on Bishop type level from Juice. Kendrick is Bishop. Mm. 50 Cent is Bishop. Pusha T is Bishop. Cole, you're not a Bishop. You're more so like Steel or Q. Go that way, bro. Go over there, bro. You're not Bishop, bro. You tried to be Bishop, but it didn't work out for you.
You know what? I wouldn't even consider Kendrick to be Bishop, though, because Bishop did all that shit unwarranted as fuck.
Yeah,
watching TV.
I would say 50 Cent. Yeah, I would say 50 Cent is Bishop because that nigga be doing shit. He knows how to kick somebody when they are the fuck down, okay? P. Diddy's kids is in cuffs on the grass, and this nigga is tweeting about it and posting about it. 50 Cent doesn't give a fuck about your dreams at all. The reason why I don't consider Kendrick Bishop is because Kendrick isn't responding unprovoked. Yeah. Kendrick probably wouldn't have said shit at all if J. Cole wasn't so busy trying to be the mediator between him and a nigga he do not fuck with and has never fucked with in the almost 15 years of his career. Kendrick's been around for a long fucking time. A long time. And in none of those years has fucking with Drake been a part of that man's MO. And so you going on tour, again, some shit J. Cole didn't fucking need to do. Like, yeah. So much of this shit J. Cole didn't need to do. If J. Cole just could, like, if he could just understand that he is talented, he's a good rapper, he can put a good album together, he almost always goes platinum with no features, he didn't need to collaborate with any fucking body. I don't know what his money was looking like, but the collaborating with Drake to the Light Skin Beige Man tour didn't fucking need to be done. My Mom is White tour didn't need it. Didn't need to happen. Didn't need to happen. There's people on the internet who didn't even know J. Cole mama was white. I saw comments today from somebody saying, wait, J. Cole's mama's white? He was getting away with it. he was getting away with it. Okay? I had told
RJ earlier, man, I felt like Cole was up 1-0 at this point. You know.
What, after the Kendrick verse?
After Cole's song.
I didn't give him any points.
No, that's
terrible.
To me, it was because it was not so much of the song itself, right? It was that he had shifted public perception so much that for about one or two days, everybody was questioning Kendrick's catalog. I think at this point, I felt like because of the internet, public perception matters these days. And they were really questioning. They were talking about Pimp a Butterfly on Twitter for 2 days, right?
Yep.
So I had Cole up 1-0. Now, the problem is he might have pigeonholed himself, and I felt like because Like That is so big, what is it? It's been at number one for 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah, 3 weeks, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It ran into the festival. You can't, at this point, and where we are, I don't think you can have that festival without playing first person shooter.
Right.
You can't.
You know what I mean? So either something happened, he heard something, or something made him go up. Now, I have a completely different theory. I feel like we would have a totally different story had that song shot off like he thought it was.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and that's the truth. And that's why I go back to saying it comes really back down to the producing. Like That beat was phenomenal. When you get the 7-minute drill, like what I said, the first half sounded like a goddamn Mega Man Nintendo video game. It was terrible.
Yeah, but it's easy to apologize for something that stinks. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But if this shit, if it would have blew up, if this would have been a back to back or something like that, we having a completely different conversation.
Right. And here's the
that's my issue, right. And that's why I don't give Cole points, because it didn't blow up, and even though it didn't blow up, he still backtracked.
Yeah.
Like, and to even title the project Might Delete Later, stand 10 toes down on anything. Please, J. Cole, can you please have some foundation? He is too talented to constantly be waffling like this. It's my least favorite thing about him.
I'm Drake, I'm throwing a few shots at Cole too.
Right. No, yeah, right. And then this is what makes it worse now, even though Kendrick is not TDE no more, but he still have a loyalty and an alliance to them. Now this shit is going to spill over, because when Cole was doing what he was doing at Dreamville Festival, they said Punch was there. And when Punch was reading the crowd, Punch was all like, oh, now y'all may realize y'all been hating on my nigga Dot on the low for all these years, but y'all was afraid to say that shit. Mm-hmm. And then it didn't stop there. They said as soon as when Schoolboy Q got done performing, nigga, he bumped the fuck out. Nigga, I see his Instagram the next single day. He back in California at his daughter's soccer game.
Mm.
So
as he should have been.
Yeah. Yep, as he should have been. But I was just all like, I'm all like, damn. And then what makes it so disrespectful, okay, we had 7-minute drill, but I felt like Pi was far more disrespectful. Because you have two niggas that's on TDE on a song with you. You have Daylight and Ab Soul on a song with you. So to me, I'm all like, I'm looking at Cole. Nigga, don't try to pull your hand out the cookie jar now, nigga. You knew what you was doing, bro. You knew exactly what you was doing. And now you want to try to don't try to backtrack now, bro. You knew exactly what you was doing.
I hate the backtracking.
I think to Drake, he was what Pac was to Death Row to me.
Okay.
Right? So to me, when Pac went to Death Row, Pac was like he was saying what everybody wouldn't say.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I felt like Drake threw Cole out there like that.
Yeah, he did.
He kind of just watched.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, this goes back to, this is Drake versus everybody at this point.
Right.
That was his last play. Who else he got on his side? What, Lil Baby and Dirk, come on, man.
But even then, Drake doesn't need to do any of that shit. Like, at this point in Drake's career, Drake is, let me see, Drake is what, 38 now?
Yeah.
But you talking Drake, Meg, like, talking about Ross, we still, the future component is completely like,
right.
Future can do what he wants to do at this point.
And a lot of these artists can't. And I'm trying to pinpoint the reason why so many artists feel that they need to collaborate in these ways so late in their career. I can see y'all doing all this damn collaborating in 2013, 14, maybe even 15 and 16. But after 2017, none of y'all need to collaborate like this. Stand on your own head. Y'all could have gone on tour together if y'all needed to, but to collaborate on these projects together like y'all friends, y'all niggas ain't even really friends like that. And then we find out later on. We don't find out y'all don't fuck with each other like that until way later on. And to be quite honest, this is just, and I'm also a sociologist, so the study of human behavior is very important to me. And J. Cole, come on now, Drake and J. Cole are getting the light-skinned girl treatment. Stop being so mean to him. He said sorry.
Yeah.
He said he was sorry. Yeah. You're letting the mean dark-skinned kid be, the dark-skinned guy be mean to him. Yeah, this is colorism at its finest. This is all colorism. I thought this was rap. Are we not rapping no more? Okay, so the fact that these niggas don't want to put each other on a shirt, put each other on a shirt, and they want to keep it in a booth. Oh, it's not rap no more. Okay, I see. Now we flip flopping because K-Dot is up. Okay, he didn't have to do a whole song. He didn't need a whole 7-minute song. He didn't. Or I know it wasn't 7 minutes, but he didn't need a 7-minute drill. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, man. Cole was like, I have something to say, and I'm just going to fucking say it. Here it is. Bye. Fuck out my face. I'll see y'all on my next album. Like, the point that I made in my video is that when people talk rap, when people talk hip-hop, Kendrick is in every conversation.
Yes.
When they're talking about rap, anything past 2010, they like, man, these rap niggas is doing it. Kendrick, Drake, J. Cole, that Wale, Big Sean, they start listening to all the rap niggas. And Kendrick is always a part of the rap niggas conversation. You can't say that nigga is not in a conversation unless he drops a verse, because that's just not true. It's just really not. So already Cole lost it with me. I'm like, that's not a bar because it's not a fact. That was the whole point of my video. It's not a bar because it's not a fact. Everything else is out the window. You can't say To Pimp a Butterfly is weak because you was fucking with the R.I.B. You can't say you wasn't fucking with it. And even if y'all weren't considering To Pimp a Butterfly, if you were considering Good Kid, M.A.A.D City, you're outside of your rabid-ass fucking mind. That's one of the greatest albums ever created. Fuck out of here. So I'm already not believing anything you're saying. But, like, when Punch is making a point, like, oh, y'all never fucked with my nigga K-Dot. No, they did. They did. There was somebody on Twitter talking about, whoa, we wasn't rapping all right in Chicago, and it took me 5 seconds to find a video with thousands, hundreds of thousands of people rapping all right, word for word, Chicago.
That's the new changes to me.
Right.
Yeah. So people coming up with their own narratives right now, and honestly, it's just colorism at work. He got the light-skinned man, he just apologizing. Drake threw a whole tantrum, and didn't nobody say shit past 24 hours. He threw a whole tantrum on stage. He gave a whole little speech on stage, and nobody said boo about it past 24 hours.
But
J. Cole comes out, and he's like, ooh, I'm upset. I'm so really sad about it. And everybody's like, leave him alone. Leave him alone.
That's a fact. And then I'll take it another step further. I think for me, too, why I feel like Kendrick gets a lot of the hate that he get. This is the first time ever in history we ever seen a commercialized rapper that's known around the world, and he's from the West Coast. Normally, rappers come from down south in New York. Kendrick is by far the first.
You think that's the problem? I told you earlier, I feel like Kendrick gets the hate that he does. It's not, everybody knows he can rap. I feel like at this stage of the last two albums have been, not even the last two, the last three albums have been very, very niche. So how do you evolve? How do you evolve without isolating?
Right.
So how do you
evolve? You mean for Kendrick?
Yes. So like you go from Good Kid, M.A.A.D City, which was undeniable. I'm talking about everybody liked that album.
Right.
To Pimp a Butterfly, which is it's one of the greatest albums of my generation.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
It's very
shout out to Terrace Martin.
It's very, very niche. And then you have commercial, very, very commercial, but it's still niche. You either like it or you hate it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mr. Morale kind of just divided everybody.
Mr. Morale divided a lot of people, especially women, because he was going on a, this is from the perspective of a woman who's a sociologist, is that he was going on a protect women campaign, and then he had two features from Kodak Black, like two interludes from Kodak Black, a two-time convicted racist. Like it wasn't giving protect women. So a lot of women, they kind of zoned out about it. But also I will say Kendrick, just like J. Cole, deserved an introspective album.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good Kid, M.A.A.D City was like a brand generic album in that he's supposed to be this good kid from Compton who's like everybody else is gang affiliated, but he not affiliated like that, which is why he got so many songs even prior to Good Kid, M.A.A.D City, like on OD, where he's talking about What's that verse you say? Trust me, these niggas rushing from something my cousin probably did. Guilty by association, story of my life, nigga. Like,
oh yeah,
was always affiliated with like fucked up shit, but he wasn't in the shit. That's why on Good Kid, M.A.A.D City, he's like in the car with niggas that do this shit. He don't have a gun, but these other niggas got a gun, and now it's like doing all this other crazy shit. So it was a branded introspection, but it wasn't like enough introspection like Mr. Morale was. Mr. Morale was an opportunity to reflect. He's very reflective, being in his 30s. He's a father now. He's married. He's been in the rap game for these amount of years. So he deserves to be introspective just the same way that dreadhead niggas Jermaine wrote For Your Eyes Only.
Yeah. Hey, like, that's a fact.
That nigga came out with For Your Eyes Only. He made a whole album to a man that is no longer alive. And nobody said blue.
I fucked with that album. I liked everything on that album except Folding Clothes.
Yeah.
That's so funny because Folding Clothes is my sister's favorite one on that album.
Jesus, that's crazy, man.
That's my sister's favorite song on that album.
No, Folding Clothes, yeah. Like, that's why I had put that on social media the other day. How dare you try to take shots at K-Dot, but you got a whole song of you talking about folding clothes with your chick.
Come on now.
Wrong message.
Come on now.
I'm going to tell you, though.
For Your Eyes Only, I think I may have played that album 4 times.
See, that's,
maybe.
For me, that's KOD. I've listened to KOD 1.5.
And I like KOD better than For Your Eyes.
KOD was cool.
I like the KOD. Yeah. I fucked with KOD because, like what I said, KOD kind of made me feel like it was some similarities to Pimp a Butterfly. Like to smoke another bag, to smoke, meditate. Mm. Like he had similar joints like that. Like off of like to Pimp a Butterfly. So I was all like,
he had some fun cadences.
Yeah. And I was all like, you try to take shots at that, but bro, you did the same thing.
So
you did the exact same thing.
I will say I'm excited, right? This is the most I've ever been. I haven't been excited for hip hop in a long time. We're in a great spot.
Yeah.
The only issue I have, and it's a big issue, is that we are going to get from Drake and Kendrick what we wanted to get from Cole and Kendrick. Cole and Kendrick, I feel like would have been, it's just going to be
ultimate.
Just rap. No, just rap.
Yeah.
Just rap.
Yes.
I feel like this Drake and this Kendrick situation is going to get a little bit more personal.
Yes.
And that's ultimately what, I mean, I really don't care for, but
all that nigga has to do, all Kendrick has to do to win this battle, if that happens, because Drake would be outside his mind. And don't get me wrong, I find Drake to be a very good writer when he's writing his own shit. That nigga can write his ass off. I may not be a Drake fan today, but I'm one of those annoying people that says, I was listening to that. I have to say that because it's a fact. I was listening to that nigga the first 3 mixtapes. After that, I couldn't do it because I'm just like, it's just not my shit.
Yeah.
But Drake can write his motherfucking ass off, and he better not box with Kendrick. I'm just saying.
You don't think so?
Because all Kendrick, hell no. All Kendrick got to do is drop a song called Tragic Mulatto, and it's over.
Shit, I don't know, man.
Like, what the fuck? All he got to do is drop a song called Tragic Mulatto featuring Lupe Fiasco, and it's a fucking rap. Because Lupe Fiasco has hated Drake since 2006.
Well, see, that's the thing, though, because everybody hates him. Like, he can't make a song just about Kendrick these days. Like, you know what I mean? Meg shot at him on was it Hiss?
Yeah.
You got,
you can't talk shit about the BBLs when you got the same stars, yeah, baby.
You got him and Rick Ross, not on the same, on good terms right now. Kendrick dropped that bomb on him, and again, you still have somebody that is on the same level as him. As when you talk about popularity and hits, you still have Future right there. He comes out, what, Friday?
Right, and here's the crazy part, like, I would, like, Future, like, I wasn't a huge fan, though, but but I've grown to like him.
And
I have to say, Dirty Sprite 2 is a fucking classic. Argue with your mama. And when I'm looking back at it, I was like, damn, this relationship low key started from Black Panther. King's dead. It started from
Mickey
King's,
with that bullshit.
It started from King's dead, and who knows, they probably just kept that shit intact in order. And then the reason why too, I've been hearing, okay, they're saying it's a chick, but honestly, to me, I feel like Future stopped fucking with Drake is when Drake did that collab with 21 Savage. And we all know Drake and Future always done collabs with each other.
They got Diamond Records together, man. You don't beef like that when you got Diamond Records together. Yeah. I know what y'all got.
Yeah, and then once Future saw that, Future like, okay, I'm going to hit you where it hurt. Ring.
Mm-hmm.
K-Dot, what up, dog? Hey.
Yep.
Hey, Metro Boomin got this beat for it. Hey, man, hey, I want you to jump on it. And probably conversations took place like, okay, this nigga probably brought up Drake. Both of them at this moment, it's like, fuck Drake at this moment. And then it was like fucking Kendrick with like a fucking hand grenade and just threw it in a whole fucking building, just went into shambles.
I don't even think this was Future's doing. I feel, because Future ain't never, Future always been kind of like low key. He ain't never really cared that much, it seems. This is like Metro Boomin.
I feel like Metro Future Boomin has cared awesome. Enough, though. I think Future has cared enough, though. I think Future has enough alliances, but his alliance with Drake was real and very tangible in like 2012, 2013, even all the way up to maybe like 2015, 16. Mm-hmm. Like they had very, very, you know, deep roots in their friendship, in their relationship.
Yeah.
But Drake, much like any colonizer, says, fuck the loyalty. Fuck loyalty and fuck culture. I'm going to do what I want to, because it's very reminiscent of Drake's choice to go to Young Money. Drake talked all this shit about being a real rapper, an authentic rapper. Listen to Comeback Season.
Man,
the fucking
yeah.
production on Comeback Season is some of the best. Ooh, that yeah. Donnell Jones sample, and then he flipped it at the end. Some of the best writing and production, and he had all these connections to 4040 and Ninth Wonder and all this shit. He was so loyal. And then the first opportunity he got to go mainstream, I haven't heard him do a song with Fonte since.
No, yeah, and even like for me, what made me like a super like a Drake fan back in the day, the first Drake track that I ever heard is when he did Deceiving, when he rapped over the fucking Ooh. Slum Village beat. I remember when I yeah. first heard that, I was like, yo, this nigga can really rap.
He like, can really like, rap.
Yeah, like when he did that, I was like, okay, then just like what you said, Comeback Season, a huge fan.
Yeah.
I had Replacement Girl on my MySpace page.
Ooh, Replacement yeah. Girl. Yeah, come on now. Yeah,
Replacement Girl. And then like what yep. you said, the other mixtapes came I didn't really care for, but I'm not gonna lie, I have to give credit where credit is due. I do like Take Care. I do like Nothing Was the Same.
Take Care is cool. Yeah,
I do like Nothing Was the Same. And I keep telling people for the umpteenth time, this was a mixtape before they turned it to an album. If you're reading this, it's too late. I'm a fan of those three.
Oh, yeah. I always thought If You're Reading This was a mixtape.
I'll give
Drake a listen.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I just don't fuck with it because yeah. it's a culture.
So, yeah. Yeah. And then everything past that, I'm all like, yeah. Like, yeah,
yeah, because for me, it's only so much you can tell me about my culture when I know you're from Toronto, Canada, and was raised by a white mama. So when in these songs you talking about what you did for your mama, I know you're talking about a white woman.
Mm.
Like, it's very little you can tell me about my culture because we always have to remember, I'm a sociologist, culture comes from the mothers. So the mothers are the one planning your holidays. The mothers are the ones who are deciding where we're going for the holidays, who you spend your time with. The mothers are deciding that. It's even more exacerbated when the person who's raising you is a single parent. So not only is the mother making all these choices, she's the only person making these choices. She's not arguing with your black daddy about where you're going to be for Christmas. That nigga wasn't there. So not only are you really raised by your mother, you're only raised by your mother and her white mother.
Mm.
So a lot of his references to being like the Fresh Prince, about being like the outsider, being sticking out like a sore thumb, is because he was black around a bunch of white children, but you were still raised very white. He has a song called Stress featuring Nicholas F. And he says something in one of the verses like, because black is black, baby, even if he's very light. So he has all these references about like how he was a black kid, but he couldn't really fit in with the black kids because he was raised in a very white affluent neighborhood.
Mm.
You can't tell me shit about the streets. Okay. Oh, yeah. When yeah. I know that's your experience, I know it is. So it's hard for me to like really connect to you when Kendrick is rapping about shootouts. I'm also probably very biased, but as a Jermaine Cole fan, I can't be too biased because I fuck with J. Cole too. But I fuck with Kendrick a lot because some of these shootouts that Kendrick was talking about, my friends also got shot in. I'm from North Long Beach. Kendrick is from Compton. We right across the bridge. So some of these parties he was going to, I was either at or was on my way to and didn't make it because it got shot up. Like that shooting that happened at Louis Burgers that killed his Uncle Tony. Uncle Tony was my dad's homie. Like, these are people, so we're from very much the exact same area. Not to mention, he graduated a year before I did. So there's a lot of similarities in the things that Kendrick talks about. And I can justify and validate because I remember these same instances happening at the same time. J. Cole, I really fuck with because I hear him talking about, you know, growing up in a very uncomfortable situation. Your mother is a drug addict. You're trying to figure out yada, yada, yada. All that shit is cool. You rap about going to college. I fuck with that. I went to college. Love it, love it, love it. But when you talk about your mama having a job at Domino's, this is where I struggle. Because I don't know one black person whose mama was a crackhead and also got a job at Domino's. I'm sorry. Tupac mama was a drug addict and she couldn't get no goddamn job at Domino's.
Nah,
so now we're talking about systemic racism, because systemic racism says that J. Cole's white mama as a drug addict can manage a fucking Domino's, but Tupac's Black Panther black mama, who's also a drug addict, who's done more, who literally created healthcare opportunities for black people in New York, can't get a fucking job. Sorry, it's just the brain is hacking do it.
So from a sociology standpoint, right? Why do you think he got up there and apologized?
Tragic
Outside
Mulatto.
Of the music.
Yeah.
Tragic Mulatto, the conflicted biracial. Like, Drake would never do that because Drake is arrogant as fuck. And I let him have it. He didn't want, Drake didn't want us to see his child, but he was very comfortable showing the world his dick just 2 months ago. Whatever. J. Cole very much struggles as a tragic mulatto because he is more black presenting than Drake is. Drake is constantly cosplaying blackness. But J. Cole, I don't think he's cosplaying blackness as much as he very much identifies with blackness, but has struggled with non-black family members and not having a lot of like people to reference in his life and his absent father. So like there's a lot that he has struggled with as far as a biracial person. Granted, biracial people are still people of privilege, especially if your mama is white, you're still a person of privilege. But I think for him, a lot of people were being like, J. Cole didn't want to do that. He didn't want to do that. But the problem is he fucking shouldn't have. He should have sat there and ate his fucking salad and dropped his project and let it be. He shouldn't have came out with no diss against Kendrick. And then he did. And now he fucking feels bad because he's like, people are seeing me as this bad guy. I don't like the response I'm getting online. That's none of your business. You're a rapper, nigga. Rap. But he constantly is seeking this validation, as a lot of biracials do, especially biracial that identifies as a middle child. He's constantly seeking validation. Constantly. Mm. He's always trying to make sure he's okay wherever he is when he doesn't fucking have to. You're an incredible rapper with a beautiful catalog. A lot of people may not fuck with all of it, but a lot of people don't fuck with all of Jay-Z's projects. A lot of people don't fuck with when Ice Cube was out. They didn't fuck with a lot of Ice Cube shit. A lot of people don't fuck with Big Sean shit. Like, there are a lot of people who have projects and they'll drop project after project and people just will not fuck with it. That's not your business. You are an artist. Create your fucking art. The problem is the tragic mulatto has a lot of, they have these like sentiments of conflict. I don't want to be seen as the bad guy. I don't want to be seen as a bully. Drake don't even want to be seen as a bad guy. That's why he keeps throwing his phone and holding his hand and hiding his hand. That's why Drake keeps doing stupid shit in the background and then he hides his hand every fucking time. But yeah, I think the reason why he apologized was just the struggle of the biracial. It is that I don't fit in anywhere. So the last thing I want to do is fuck up alliances. Y'all love J. Cole. Y'all love Kendrick too, right? I'm not the only one who also loves Kendrick. And everybody in the crowd is like, fuck Kendrick. Because they took his side.
They wanted to take his side. Yeah. No, yeah. And that's
See, this is where I was going. It wasn't even an apology. Like, you know what I mean? I kind of respect.
It was a retraction.
It wasn't an apology.
It was a retraction.
It was the, when he was like, well, even if you do respond, I'm gonna take it to the chin.
You should have taken the first one to the chin.
Right. And I just look at it as, I'm like, so you're saying that, so don't get mad if this nigga come back and punch you in your mouth. You can't get mad. So before we wrap this up, and I got one more question, and this is just going for all of us. So if Cole is removed,
he is removed.
Which rapper you think who can competitively step up against Drake or Kendrick?
Who could compete with Drake or Kendrick?
In what way? Which
in a lyrical war. If it's a lyrical warfare, and like you have to pick a new soldier, since this nigga,
you gotta say commercial. Okay,
commercial rap. Who would you pick?
Okay, this is gonna be just roll with me. Okay, just roll with me.
Okay,
this person does not have as long of a career at all. But if you want to talk about lyricism, production, wordplay, metaphor, metaphys, can flip on a beat, it's Cordae.
J. Corday.
And see, you
Corday
know
is very fucking talented. That young man can rap his fucking ass off.
And you know what?
I know it's like, damn, where the fuck has he been? But I'm going to keep it a whole bean. That's why I say,
I
you
like
gotta
like song. That
Road of Vision.
I don't know what that is.
What is the name of it? Because I just
singing,
heard it the other day.
Like singing?
And I did like the joint that he did with Wayne, the Sinister joint. The Sinister joint was hard to me.
What is that song?
She said
I have
that
to look it up. I can't remember the name.
I know what song you're talking about.
Sing it. I don't know.
What the fuck is it called? Not Tough Decisions. When I remember it, I'm going to DM it to you because I can't remember it right now. But I find Corday to be real talented. He minds his fucking business. He can rap his ass off. He can produce. He can write for himself and others. I can respect an artist who is comfortable getting out of the comfort zone, but also staying in the fucking box. And that boy got a mallet. He can spit. I think he's underrated, but I think it's because he doesn't play the industry games really like that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And also, why would you have to? You got a baby with Naomi Osaka. Stay in the house, baby.
No, yeah, this is a fact. So I definitely like that. So for me, my pick has to be, I've been watching this dude for a minute, and he's from Florida, but he's not the typical Florida rapper. And I actually fucking admire the hell out of his music, and he can rap his ass off. I'm a fucking fan of Denzel Curry. I like Denzel Curry.
Ooh,
Denzel Curry Denzel Curry is fucking dope. For a rapper that comes out of Carroll City, Florida, he don't rap like a typical nigga that's from Florida. He's not like that. He's not from that branch of that umbrella. Like, he does his own thing. And I just love the fact that, like his previous album, like, he did a Robert Glasper, Terrence Martin did a lot of production on this.
Love
it. And then the joint that he had dropped, I want to say like a year and a half ago, nigga, Walking. I had Walking on repeat for a minute. I love how the beat started off slow and then it turned up towards the end. I'm all like, Denzel Curry, he's going to be a problem within the coming of years.
Yeah, and he's at a really good age to be thoughtful and considerate in his music and not make silly ass decisions.
Yes.
He's at a great age because he's like late 20s, right?
Yeah.
I'll give you that. You're right.
Who you guys
when you talk about commercial rap, man, I just got to be honest, man. I think when you talk about tier A, it's Drake, Future, and then whenever Kendrick pop out. When you talk about tier A, you know what I mean? You got Drake, Future.
Oh, yeah, okay. I see what you're saying.
Whenever Kendrick pop out, when Jay-Z decides to pop out, that's like tier A. You know what I mean? I love Buddy.
I fuck with Buddy. I'm a huge fan of Buddy.
As far as just lyricism, man, I don't. Nobody comes to mind because I don't think anybody looks for that anymore.
But you
also got to remember, drill rap really flooded the industry in a way that made a lot of what should have been mainstream rappers underground or less known.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, drill really flooded the industry. But just like all the ebbs and flows of hip hop, East Coast and West Coast gonna be back up. Don't even trip. Just let things be. Let it be. We gonna let the drill rap got probably another 2 years.
You still think it's here?
I think it's going to take another, because it has to fully fade out. It hasn't fully faded out yet. Because they're still doing ciphers and,
The only person that's doing drill still is Ice Spice.
But
with Ice Spice doing drill, that does require, because you also got to keep it a bean, the girls is bringing the money in right now.
Yes.
They are fucking killing it. Like,
I know she
Ice
gets,
Spice, Ruby Rose, Megan, Doechii, Full Millie. Like,
I know she gets killed for the way she looks, but I did not expect Sexy Red to become the storm that she is.
Right. That's crazy.
Did you?
Really?
I did. Yes, I did. Because Sexy Red, I'm going to just give y'all my own little 2 cents sidebar. I be telling people this, and I'm only 2% joking. I'm 98% serious, but it mostly sounds like a joke. I think her baby daddy is Drake. Now, that's not the point. Let's move on. I think I'm like, are you pregnant? Yeah. You on tour with Drake? And Drake don't collab with no women like that. Like, he very rarely collabs with women. And he, okay, he got a bill to pay. But anyway. I knew that she would because she gets social media. She gets it. She understands it. She understands it, and she doesn't, she chooses not to overexert herself for her brand. And people are exhausted. They're exhausted with consumerism. And so she has made her brand very easily digestible. Very easily digestible. She understands social media. You don't have to put a lot of, like, yeah, you're going to put money behind her if you're backing her, but you don't have to put a lot of money behind her because she's going to get straight to the fucking point.
Yeah.
Period. When she hit that, I could have killed you. Like, she understood the internet 6 years ago when she dropped that. Sexy Red is underrated in her ability to understand social media. That's why I knew she was going to pop. I've been knew that. Uh-huh. I saw her and I was like, yeah.
No, yeah, I could definitely agree with that. And another one of my female favorites that I actually do enjoy listening to. And I know, like, people gave her a lot of shit though too, but she could really rap her ass off. I'm a huge fan of Doja Cat. I fuck with Doja Cat. I like Doja Cat. Doja Cat, not only, like, you know, she be in the media, but she does got that sex appeal too. And she can really rap her ass off too. Like, she can rap her ass off.
But we also have to remember Tragic Mulatto.
Yeah.
We have to keep that in mind.
Yes.
Because every now and then she's going to go on a rant about, stop making jokes about my hair. Yeah. And then shave her fucking head because she struggles with her blackness, much like a lot of people who are black and white. So she got a lot of, she struggles a lot with her Tragic Mulatto-ness, and I think that's what makes her go underground. But don't get me wrong. When she said, bitch, I said what I said, I'd rather be famous instead, I shut the fuck up. Because I say, you know what? You're right. Let me shut the fuck up.
So I don't outside of this, I really don't know where we're headed hip hop, but I'm enjoying where we are right now. I think this has been a great year, man. It's been a great year. We only in, shout out to Cat Williams, man.
Right.
We only in April.
We ain't even hit summer yet. But summer ain't even here yet. So I'm all like, it's about to cook.
And we get another future. Metro Boomin.
Right, tomorrow night, we still don't trust you. So let the war begin. Let the war begin.
I'm just, you dropping it. Outside of DMX, is this ever happening? Like, you dropping again when your song is number one?
No, this ain't, you're right. The last time this has happened since DMX, that is a fucking long time.
99? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 99. Yeah, that is a long time. So, hey, I am fucking here for all the shenanigans and all the smoke. I'm here for all of this, though. But I just want to just say thank you for
Thank you so much for having me.
No, like, for real. And like I said, you're a distant cousin. I have family that live out that way. My auntie, she grew up out that way. So everything that
you was
talking about, I already know. My auntie stayed off of 84th in Manchester. So I know what it is. I know what it is. Like, and every time, like, you know, when I go out there, gotta go get my Hawkins for sure. And I gotta go I know they move locations, but I don't care what anybody say. Taco pizza is a fucking staple.
Taco pizza is fire. That's a very, very good point. I appreciate you so much for having me. This was incredible. If y'all ever get time, listen to Desi Mamadou. She is one of the new artists. She was one of the artists that Logic put on his last album for another conversation, but she is incredible. You will not be disappointed if you listen to her. Nezi Momodou. N-E-Z-I Momodou. M-O-M-O-D-U. She's got signed to Def Jam. I think she got signed to Def Jam last year. She's incredible. So you want to hear some real hip hop? You want to hear some real rapping? Somebody that's rapping their ass off? Yeah, you need to check her out. I'll send you her name in a DM on TikTok just so you have a chance to check it out. But I appreciate y'all so much. This was incredible. y'all are incredible. And I thank y'all.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely. We're going to cook again for sure.
For sure. No, yeah, okay, yeah, I definitely appreciate it.
Oh, no, yeah. All right. Yeah, you take care now.
Y'all be safe. Peace. All right,
peace. She cooked that shit. Oh, man, Brody, she definitely did, man. Bro, look, I enjoyed every bit of this, man. Like, for real, man. This was the conversation I felt like people were scared to have and really didn't want to tell the truth about the whole situation. Mm. And that's how I feel about it, because just like what she was saying, everybody wanted to make the excuse, all spiritual growth, this and nah, bro. I can't buy it. Like I really can't buy it. Like, straight up, man. Like if you're gonna do something, man, you gotta stand on it. Like, you definitely gotta stand on it, man. But Spence, this was fucking fun with you, bro. Like, for real, man.
Appreciate it, man.
We gotta cook. We gotta cook more often, man. Like, you know, definitely, man. No, but man, like what we said, man, we're here for all the smoke.
Absolutely.
Like definitely here for all the smoke. Cole, my guy. I love you, man. But it's only right if I had to do this, man. You tapped out, brother. You definitely tapped out. I'm sorry. I had to, bro. Like, I definitely had to, man. But, man, definitely enjoyed this with you, man. Spence, let them know where they can find you at, bro.
Hey, man, just call me Spence on Twitter. That's J-U-S, call me Spence, S-P-E-N-C. Views from the 7 on all platforms.
Yes, man. Shout out to the extended family, Views from the 7. And once again, Bass Rhymes. You can find us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook.
Where can they find the sister?
Oh, you can find Ink. She has an Instagram and on TikTok on Ink. I'll put that on there on the display on the YouTube video. So definitely where y'all can find her, man. Like, dude, like, man, like, not only like she's a hip hop purist, but also too, she studies sociology. So she knows what's up. She definitely knows what's up, man. So, like, this was a conversation that I definitely enjoy, man. And you know, like, us just really just telling the truth about it, you know. But then the situation, man, rap battles are going to happen. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, hey, we just going to see how this going to play out.
And this be hard, man.
All right.
I ain't never heard this before, man.
Oh, man. That classic Outkast, that Wheels of Steel, baby. Yeah. Yeah, man. No, but I mean, like what I said, you can find us on all the platforms. You name it, we own it. You name it, we own it. Man, but yeah, man, we're going to keep it coming and keep it going, man. But until then, this is your boy, Skeeter Steve, representing Lace Rhymes for the culture by the culture. The outro. Peace.